Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of WFAN here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Sunday morning edition of Zach Gelb here with you on The Fan, in for the big fella, Mark Malusis. 888-808-1019 is the number to jump on in. You could always hit me up on the good old cesspool of Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Brian Rascona along the other way, and we'll take you all the way up until Yankees baseball, as the Yankees try to win this series up against the Colorado Rockies at 1 p.m. We got a whole lot to do today. We'll have some guests join us along the way. Coming up at the top of the hour, he was at Yankee Stadium yesterday getting honored with Old Timers Day and the 09 championship team. Jerry Hairston Jr. will join us. Mark Schlereth is going to stop by at 11 a.m. And then at noon, we'll talk some JTS Jets with Ligier Duzabal, the former defensive lineman for Gangrene. And I'm happy this preseason has come and gone. Last night, you kind of see it with the Giants, where it was nothing massive, nothing major that's going to derail their season, because I don't think there's much hope for the Giants season anyway. But I can't stand preseason football. I know that we all get jacked up for the start of the NFL season, and trust me, no one's happier that the NFL is almost back than your boy. But when you look at the preseason, and I've covered these monotonous training camps and OTAs and mini camps, only bad things can happen. There could only be holdouts, or there could only be injuries. And I never want to see someone's season just get flushed down the drain before it actually gets a start when the games do get to count. So we'll squeeze in some Jets. I got a chance to talk to Brett Favre earlier in the week. I'm sure you heard about it on WFAN, because he said some things about Aaron Rodgers. And we'll also get into the Giants. Of course, we will talk about the Mets because, man, last night, what a special game that was. I know if you wake up and you miss the game and you're just reading the box score, you're like, oh, okay, 7-1. It was a blowout. It was lopsided. And Francisco Lindor continues to make an MVP push, which I never thought I would have said that at any point this season, that Francisco Lindor would have been making a push for the MVP of the NL. I don't think he's going to win it. We'll get into more of that later. Otani's going to be 50-50. Ozuna is top five in the Triple Crown watch right now. When you look at his home runs and you look at his average and you look at his RBIs, I think he's tied for fourth right now across the board. But Lindor is carrying this team along with starting pitching that I never thought what was going to be good this year. You see what guys like Manaea have done at times, obviously Severino and Quintana, who's on the bump today. But David Peterson, these last 2 months, where it feels like anytime you watch David Peterson before that, there would be a stretch where it would just be one catastrophic inning. And the last 2 months, he has been sensational. And I know we'll get lost in it last night, because the story is Lindor with Machado making the mistakes that led to the Alonso, favorable hit in his favor early on to get the Mets on the board. And then later on, another mistake by Manny Machado before Lindor belts the ball over the fence for a grand salami, and then gets another home run later in the game. So hit home runs for both sides of the plate, being the switch hitter. So sure, Lindor is the story last night, but just to see what David Peterson has become really in the last 2 months. This is a Mets team where I look at them. Am I expecting the playoffs? No. You know, when I've done shows here on FAN and earlier in the year, even after that London series where they had that great come-from-behind win up against the Philadelphia Phillies to split that series across the pond, all right, there's moments where they suck you back in. And just the fact that they've given us a summer, I am good with. But don't get me wrong, I want this team to make the playoffs, but I can't sit here, and I know that they have the Padres, right, and they'll try to go win 3 out of 4 later today. They got the Diamondbacks right after that. So you're going up against teams that you're trying to close ground with and gain ground with in the wild card, and the Braves have gotten hot once again, even with all their injuries. They've been decimated with injuries. But this is just a baseball team that, in the Mets, they're going to finish a few games over 500. And there's no doubt about that in my mind, and that's going to put you in striking distance or an opportunity to go win a wild card spot and go snag that third wild card spot. And like 2 months ago, you would have never thought that was the case. But to see what Lindor is doing right now, it's sensational. Because I remember, you know, since I host down the hall at on Infinity Sports Network, so you always have crossover, right, with BT and Sal, and then also the afternoon guys with Tiki Barber and Evan Roberts and Marash. And I was talking to Pete Hoffman, who produces BT and Sal, and this must have been 2 months ago, and he goes, what Jalen Brunson is to the Knicks is what Francisco Lindor is to the Mets. And I was like, I get the point. And I said this to Pete, I get your point, but when you look at Jalen Brunson, he totally changed the direction of this franchise. For Francisco Lindor, I wouldn't say he changed the direction of this franchise, because so far under his watch, under him being here in New York, he's been a good player, at times underappreciated just because of the slow starts, and then everyone gets on him early, and then he comes up big towards the end of the season. But he's only been in one playoff series, and it was a wild card round where they lost the first one, then won the second one where he hit a home run, him and Pete Alonso, and they lost that third game in what was another Mets collapse, even though they won 100 games, but they didn't win the division up against the Atlanta Braves. They didn't even get into the divisional round. So when Pete said that, Pete Hoffman, I'm like, I understand what you're saying, but I can't go that far. But, man, with what he's doing the last 2 months, it really is Jalen Brunson-like. Because he is carrying this team right now from an offensive production standpoint. So, a wonderful game last night by Francisco Lindor. And it was absolutely sensational to see him hit both home runs. And if this team can make the playoffs, man, it's gravy. Like, who would have thought 2 months ago, when you look at this ball club, that this would have been a team when you have the start of Aaron Rodgers actually hopefully playing some games this year for the Jets. A big year, if you want to say that, for Daniel Jones. You know, when we got into September, we were going to get into September. You asked me 2 months ago if we were really going to be talking about the Mets on a Sunday morning on August 25th. I would say the only way we're talking about them is if something terrible happened. But this team has sucked you back in. And there's moments last night where you get some fortuitous bounces and you see mistakes that usually the Mets make, right? How many times have you seen Manny Machado, right, make mistakes that, I don't know, first one that comes to mind is remember Daniel Murphy in that Mets-Marlins game all those years ago where Yoan Santana was in a pitching duel and Murphy just dropped the ball in left field? Like, those things happen usually to the Mets, but to see it happen to the other team, and the Mets pounce, and the Mets capitalize, and Lindor hits a grand slam, and later hits another home run from the other side of the plate. It's just been a joy to watch. And, hey, if we get into late September, and they're right there, and I think they will be right there, I'm still not believing that they're going to make the postseason. But if they don't make the postseason, sure, like there will be some disappointment just because, not that you have great expectations. I know people could say, oh, we've seen these third wild card teams go on the run. You look at the Diamondbacks last year, they get to the World Series. I have not let my level of being a delusional sports fan get to that place yet. And I still, when I sit here and I look at this team and I evaluate this team and I process this team, I'm not ready to say, oh, yeah, they're definitely making the playoffs, but if they don't make the playoffs, it would be disappointing, not only for the mere fact that they didn't make the postseason, they didn't give you a few extra games, but this team's just a joy to watch. They really are. And I walked into this season saying, hey, I don't have high expectations, but then when you don't have high expectations with the Mets, they usually overachieve. So I think I picked them before the year started to get to 83, 84 wins. But this was supposed to be a punt year. This was supposed to be a pass year. And then a year from now, you know, as a few years ago, they tried with Verlander, they tried with Scherzer, they tried to go right all in, and it was looking good for the first half of the season, and then down the stretch, the Braves were just playing at an insane rate, and then the Mets weren't able to find a way to capture that NL East title. This felt like this was going to be a punt year, a pass year for the Mets, and then you regroup, especially with the new president of baseball operations coming in, and who has been here now in David Stearns. But just to see the way that this team has battled, and this team has displayed fight, and the way that this team is just a joy to watch with Vientos. You know, how about Mark Vientos? I thought we were going to throw him in another long list and a long line of guys like Lastings Millage and Fernando Martinez, where it was, oh, there's all this talk about Mark Vientos, and he doesn't step up and deliver. But what he's been able to do and what Mark Vientos has been able to display this season, it's just been a joy to watch. And that's what I keep on getting back with this team, where I'm not ready to say I have high expectations for this team. I'm not ready to be like Tommy Lugauer, Mr. Positivity, and basically get you set to have a parade down the Canyon of Heroes. I'm not ready to go there, okay? I just want to keep on seeing this team playing. And wins like last night and a win like last night reiterates that. It absolutely positively reiterates that. And to see this team just overachieve this year after what was a dreadful, and I mean a dreadful start, where this team could have packed it up, this team could have gone home, and quite frankly, none of us really would have bitched and complained about it. I don't think we would have. If this team just mailed it in, packed it up, and went home after this dreadful start, because basically, well, let's be real, 99.9% of us waved the white flag, and we basically said, hey, this team is done, this team is finished. But the fact that they're giving us games to watch and playing meaningful baseball through all of August, and whenever you think they're about to implode, they come on back and they have wins and they have performances like we saw last night. It's gearing up for what's going to be a very, and I mean a very fun September. Because you got both baseball teams in play. Now say what you want about the Yankees and, right, the lack of a closer outside of Judge and Soto, nobody else showing up in the lineup. Say what you want about the Yankees. There's no team in Major League Baseball right now that is a clear-cut runaway favorite to go win the championship. I know you could say the Dodgers, right? But the Dodgers, I don't love their starting rotation, and they're notorious chokers. We know that. The Phillies, they've been like the worst team in baseball, even though the record doesn't suggest it. But in the second half of the season, they have not been playing great. This is wide open. And every team in Major League Baseball right now, they don't only have a flaw, they have flaws. So you go into what's going to be gearing up to Labor Day weekend next weekend, and you got both teams not only alive, but fan bases being able to dream with what could happen in September. If the Mets going out there and just play above what they're capable of in September and just start dominating and playing some phenomenal baseball, then the expectations will start to change. And then, hey, you look at the Yankees, say what you want. And I know sometimes, right, you listen after these Yankee games and it sounds very negative. You look at the AL, the team that scares you the most is clearly the Astros. We know that. But there's, I don't see how you could totally get on the radio and say there's no chance the Yankees are going to the World Series this year. Because every team in Major League Baseball has flaws. And this is wide open, and it's making for a fun September. It's going to make for an awesome October, and then you'll sprinkle in the football along the way. Hopefully the Giants could get you through September and not have their season end after September. And the Jets, obviously, they have high expectations. So I wasn't expecting to lead the show with the Mets, to be honest. But once I started getting talking about Francisco Lindor, I knew I wasn't going to shut up. We'll take your phone calls, 888-808-1019. What are your expectations for the Mets the rest of the way? And when you look at the MVP race, is Lindor the MVP of the National League? I don't think so. Don't get me wrong. He's been tremendous. I only have positive adjectives to say about Francisco Lindor. But when Shohei Ohtani, who hasn't thrown a single pitch this year, is going to hit 50 home runs and steal 50 stolen bases and steal 50 bases, which he's never done before, he's going to win the NL MVP. And Ozuna probably finishes second, and you get Lindor third. However, though, if Lindor puts this team in the postseason, he is going to have a fantastic case to be made. And you heard on the Mets broadcast last night with Gary Cohen, you heard him really starting to make that push and the way that they were laying it out. And Francisco Lindor, when he was getting interviewed by Steve Gelbs last night, he was here in MVP trance in San Diego, where last night he called it Slam Diego with his grand slam. So we'll take your phone calls next, 888-808-1019. And also when we return, I'm disappointed with El Capitan. And no, I'm not talking about Aaron Judge. I'm disappointed with something that Derek Jeter didn't say yesterday. I'll tell you what that is when we return. It's Zach Gelb in for Mark Melusis right here on WFAN.